The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. here at CNBC Global Headquarters. I'm Frank Holland. Here is your 5 at 5. We start with stocks looking for a Tuesday turnaround as investors await today's February inflation report and what it could mean for both the Fed and the markets. A new day, a new warning from J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, this time over the Fed's credibility and the falling odds of a soft landing. Pressure on TikTok ahead of a closely watched vote on Capitol Hill tomorrow. We lay out what a ban could look like and how it would be implemented. Also, the ripple effects on other foreign-owned companies. Plus, Boeing and more hot water after a scathing new FAA audit. Then later, Disney gets personal as defense against activist investor Nelson Peltz. It's Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's kick off the hour with a check of U.S. stock futures after a bit of a mixed session yesterday. This saw the Nasdaq post its second down day in a row. Taking a look right now, we're seeing futures, well, just kind of a mixed picture right now. The Dow moving to flat, fractionally lower. Just as I was talking right now, however, the Nasdaq is firmly in the positive territory. S&P, same story. So stocks are looking to make up some lost ground this morning, especially in shares of NVIDIA. After Friday's sharp move lower, I mean, you're seeing the move right here. Big drop for NVIDIA. Its biggest down day in a year on Friday. It was higher again yesterday, higher again this morning. You see it's up 1.5%. NVIDIA among the top pre-market gainers for the NASDAQ 100. We're also checking the bond market with a fresh read on consumer prices due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. Taking a look, we're seeing the benchmark pretty much at the same level that we saw yesterday, holding steady right here at 4.08%. Yesterday, I believe, was about 4.09%. And we're also looking at Bitcoin, trying to hold above that 72,000 mark and fresh all-time highs. Right now, we're seeing Bitcoin just a tick below 72,000, down about 0.75%. Also important to note, we did see Ether just touch that 4,000 mark. Right now, just below that, down 1%. Remember, crypto trades around the clock. All right, that's your morning money setup. Let's now get a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is here with those. Silvana, good morning.
Hey, Frank, good morning to you. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon sounding the alarm bells once again. Now, this time saying he wouldn't take the prospect of a U.S. recession off the table just yet. Now, speaking at the Australian Financial Review Business Summit in Sydney, Dimon says the world is pricing in a soft landing at between 70 and 80%, but he thinks the chances are at least half that, with the worst case being stagflation. Dimon adding economic indicators have been distorted by COVID-19 and should be taken with a, quote, a grain of salt, saying the Fed should wait for more clarity before lowering interest rates and could always cut quickly and dramatically, saying their credibility is a bit at stake here. Meanwhile, we're watching shares of Boeing again this morning, now down more than 25% this year. Now, this after a new FAA audit of the company's production process following that January Alaska Air midair blowout reportedly failed 33 of 89 tests, according to a presentation viewed by the New York Times. Now, that includes a check concerning that now infamous door plug. Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems passed 6 of its 13 audits, according to the report, while failing the rest. Boeing responded to the Times report, telling CNBC in part, "We continue to implement immediate changes and develop a comprehensive action plan to strengthen safety and quality." And Disney is responding to activist investor Nelson Peltz and his Try and Funds campaign to win 2 board seats with a directed attack on Peltz's motivations and qualifications.
they succeed, Disney could suffer the same fate as other great companies that Peltz has previously infiltrated, such as GE and DuPont. Nelson Peltz has a long history of attacking companies to the ultimate detriment of shareholder value. His quest also seems more about vanity than a belief in Disney.
And the video comes along with a new 66-page regulatory filing with Disney saying Peltz and the other designated board candidates are not what Disney needs right now, Frank.
Yeah, Savannah, looking at shares of Disney right now, they are up just about 0.5% in the pre-market. Savannah, thank you very much. We'll see you later in the show. All right, turn our attention back to the markets. And key to the markets today is February CPI. It's out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. Economists, they're expecting inflation to remain unchanged at 3.1%. However, the forecast is for core CPI to decline from 3.9% down to 3.7%. A new note from BMO calling the report a potentially pivotal moment for rate cut expectations. They say as long as core inflation comes in below January levels, the markets will feel confident in the Fed's successful fight against inflation. Let's talk much more about this with Vince Larusso, CEO and portfolio manager at Cloud Capital. Vince, good morning. Great to see you.
Nice to see you too, Frank.
All right. So Jamie Dimon was talking about rate cuts. Most people expect them to come in June. So I want to get a sense from you. We have obviously an inflation report coming up later today, but we also have two more FOMC meetings before June. We have other inflation reports, jobs reports, et cetera, et cetera. A lot more data coming out. How important is this report today to the idea of these June rate cuts and also the markets and the whole AI trade that you and I think a lot of people call the story of 2024?
Yeah, thanks, Frank. I think it's really important. Look, inflation is one of the key data points that the Fed's going to be using to dictate some of their fiscal policies. You know, I would say as an asset manager, we would step back and say directionally, we think rates are going to go lower because inflation is coming a little bit more under control, right, at the core level and the headline number. I think we are always reluctant at Cloud Capital. We've been managing money now. We're in our 25th year. We're reluctant to be overly precise about the specific date of, you know, monetary policy. That's a tough one to call. I think if Jamie Dimon is saying June and the markets are probably pricing in somewhere around that level, that sounds about right. But I think more important is equity investors over cycles. We think directionally that policy rates will come lower. And that's actually a really constructive backdrop for equities.
All right. So you're bullish on equities overall. I want to talk about one of the two ETFs that you actively manage. This one, the CBLS, you actually sold out of your NVIDIA position entirely. You're also trimming some of the chip makers, including Broadcom. Broadcom yesterday had the biggest negative impact on the NASDAQ. Why are you trimming specifically that part of big tech?
Yeah, it's a great question, Frank. And as folks know, with a lot of ETFs, including the ETFs that we manage at Cloud Capital, we're transparent on a daily basis. So at cloudetfs.com, folks can read disclosures and holdings, and they are subject to change. One of the changes that you just highlighted there, Frank, is we're getting a little bit more tactically cautious on some of the AI semi names, including NVIDIA. But frankly, we have a basket of names in there. We think they're really great long-term investments. You know, I kind of summarize the opportunities in AI and semis as being a combination of some speculative frenzy and some really strong fundamental drivers. You know, as an active manager, that's a really difficult backdrop, right? We have to allocate some weighting or probability about each. It's a somewhat binary decision when we talk about AI and technology. You either want to invest in it or you don't. I would say we do. As a firm, we're really big believers in technology, what that means for productivity gains. We think that this is really a generational transformation in terms of capability and investments. But we're also forced as active managers to think about, you know, some of the near-term technicals. You know, some of these stocks are so overbought. The speculative frenzy component of some of these positions has caused us to be a little bit cautious or to take some of the heat out of the portfolio, as we say. We continue to own a basket of names in that space, ASML and Lam Research and Micron and Broadcom and some others. And, you know, we look forward, frankly, to re-entering some of these positions, including NVIDIA. We think potentially at lower levels.
Okay, so Vince, let me jump in. So you're still bullish on the AI trade, and you mentioned you trim the chips, but you are looking for opportunities to get back in. You actually gave us kind of a playbook. So you do think the markets are going to see some disruption, possibly a downturn. You say if there's a pullback that's under 10%, that you're going to go more defensive, industrials, materials, along with biotech. But if we get a full-blown correction, you're going to jump back into those Mag 7 names and those chip names?
I think all else equal, Frank, we're looking for opportunities to continue to own these names and to build them tactically, right? So the market backdrop looks really favorable. I mean, growth is still looking pretty decent at 3 to 4%, inflation coming down. We're looking at, you know, fiscal policy becoming more accommodative. Valuations are a bit stretched, and in some areas we think they're more stretched, including this AI semi trade. You know, but broadly, we want to be constructive of equities, and we have our net exposure in CBLS, the hedge equity ETF that I manage. It's skewing fairly high right now, right? So we do like equities, but we are being a little bit opportunistic in sectors.
All right, Vince LaRusso, always great to see you. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, so for more on what's driving the markets and the trading day ahead, head over to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. Excuse me. All right, a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, growing calls for a TikTok ban on Capitol Hill, turning into action as lawmakers get set for a historic market-moving vote. Plus, why Oracle did not disappoint in what some on this show are calling a show-me quarter. And then later, much more ahead of today's CPI report and Apollo Global's chief economist, Torsten Slok, after his call earlier this month predicting the Fed will not cut interest rates in 2024. Very busy hours still ahead. Stay with us.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What does it mean to be rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. At Edward Jones, our dedicated financial advisors are the people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Learn more about our comprehensive approach to planning at edwardjones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Taking a look at U.S. stock futures right now. We're seeing the Dow looking like it would open just about 15 points lower. The NASDAQ, really the best performer this morning, up just over 0.33%. We're also looking at the pre-market S&P 500 gainers. Oracle, after earnings, right there at the top of the list, shares up over 13%, followed by Howmet Aerospace and toymaker Hasbro. And now we wanted to pay our attention to what's going on overseas right now. We're checking the early action over in Europe. The FTSE 100, the best performer over there, up almost 1%. However, a bit of a mixed session in Asia, with Hong Kong closing more than 3% higher. However, you see the Shanghai Composite down nearly 0.5%. All right, sticking with the overseas action, and a key Biden administration official, along with more than 20 American companies, they're in Southeast Asia this week, and they're making the case for new foreign investment right in China's backyard. Our Eunice Yoon joins us now from Manila with much more on this story. Eunice, over to you.
Thanks so much, Frank. Well, that special official is the U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. She capped her two-day trip here in Manila at this museum, enjoying local culture as well as local products. And I managed to catch up with her for an exclusive interview, and I asked her what this trip really means for business and investors.
You've solved the problem with the Chinese government perhaps not allowing a sale should it be forced by the U.S. government. That's exactly what happened last time around. They created a new law that put the export of the type of code.
Chain, access to a talented workforce. Many U.S. businesses have done business in the Philippines for a long time and have had a great experience. You know, this is a fast-growing economy, a young demographic, English-speaking.
Raimondo insisted that her transition wasn't so much about countering China and as much as engaging with the region, as well as helping companies diversify their supply chains. I did, though, manage to ask her about a Chinese-owned company called TikTok and the debate around it that's currently on in the United States. This is what she said.
TikTok presents serious national security risks to the people of the United States, data privacy risks, significant national security risks. Right now, there are a few bipartisan bills in Congress that would either ban TikTok or allow us to much more significantly regulate TikTok. And I think that's really important. And we support those bills.
Oh, so you would support a ban?
I would. I mean, some of these, the risks, I think we might be able to mitigate the risks if we had enough tools. But we may not. And I think a ban is something that also needs to be considered.
Secretary Raimondo is currently en route to Thailand, where she will continue to promote engagement in Asia. Frank?
All right, Eunice, thank you very much. Or Eunice Yoon, live in Manila, Philippines. Thank you very much for that. All right, we're going to stick with TikTok. Its CEO, Shou-Zi Chew, expected to be on Capitol Hill today, though a spokesperson says it's for a, quote, previously scheduled meeting. At the heart of the issue is national security. You just heard Gina Raimondo mention that, with lawmakers warning the Chinese government may be using user data for intelligence gathering operations or for misinformation. More than 24 states, they banned TikTok on government-issued devices, but an outright ban that has yet to take shape. Former TikTok CEO Kevin Mayer calling a ban complicated on CNBC yesterday.
You solve the problem with the Chinese government perhaps not allowing a sale should it be forced by the U.S. government. That's exactly what happened last time around. They created a new law that put the export of the type of code that TikTok develops needing to have export licenses. And of course, they weren't going to issue those export licenses. So it's a complicated dance among governments, money providers, capital provisioning. It's very difficult. So what will actually happen here if the ban is put into effect? I don't know.
All right, joining me now, Nova Daily, senior public policy advisor at Wiley Rain. He's also a former member of the Committee on Foreign Investment. Good morning. It is great to have you here.
Good morning, Frank. It's good to be here. Thank you.
All right, so we just heard from the former TikTok CEO. He's just like, you know, I don't know how this is going to work. But I want to ask you, do you have some insight? Is a ban, is it actually possible? Is it possible to block TikTok from U.S. devices? And if it is possible, how would it work and how long would it take?
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely possible. Instead of going after TikTok itself, what the bill that's currently out there is doing, if it passes the House and the Senate, it's signed by the president. It's going to have about 165-day or 180-day, depending on the bill, wind down period. Following that period of time, if there's any providers of the app and an app store, if there are any providers who provide an internet service, such as AT&T, Verizon, that continues to provide a streaming service, those providers can be fined up to $5,000 per user if they continue to provide that service. So if you have a user base of 100 million people or 170 million people, if they continue that service, that's a $500 billion to $850 billion penalty.
So it sounds like the ban would be more regulation as opposed to technically blocking the technology from coming into the U.S.
Correct. If you penalize the providers of it, that's where you create the ban. They just don't provide those services anymore to the public.
All right. So a lot of talk about TikTok right here on CNBC. Actually, yesterday, former President Donald Trump raising a lot of concerns about the ban, saying that it would only empower other platforms like a Facebook. What is your take on that? I mean, it was a very interesting take. Obviously, the president also, former president also vocalized some personal, you know, animus with Facebook and also its founder.
Yeah, you know, look where President Trump goes with this issue or how he feels is, you know, sort of his position, the position he took when CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment, reviewed it during his presidency was to block it. And he issued an executive order to that effect. That executive order still stands, and now Congress seeks to take action. So it'll be an interesting play, especially when this bill, if it passes the House tomorrow, which apparently it's up for vote, it'll go to the Senate, and we'll see this really play out in terms of who wants to advocate for the ban and who wants to continue to allow it to function as it does.
You know, when we talk about TikTok, we talk about it, you know, some people say it's corrupting the minds of young people with mindless entertainment. Of course, there's the claims that it's a Trojan horse stealing data. But I do want to ask you, a possible ban on TikTok, is it linked in your mind to some of the other curbs between the U.S. and China, things like chips and EVs?
Yeah, I mean, broadly speaking, the issue is information dissemination, big data, and what China does with it and versus what the United States entities do with it. Big data is mainly held by U.S. companies here. Big data is held by the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese entities there for different purposes. So it is a matter of competition, especially the AI space, and how we are seeing the way China acts in terms of the technologies and the data that that they get from U.S. companies and U.S. persons.
All right, Nova Daily, great to have you here. Appreciate your time and your insight. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, a big day for Arm Holdings taking shape and the latest test for the stock's very impressive post-IPO rally. We have all the details when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It's time now for your big money movers. You know, I love this segment. We're going to start off with Oracle. You can see shares are up over 13% on better than expected results. Revenue rising by 7% and net income growing by 27%. Sales in its cloud services business also getting a boost thanks to artificial intelligence and new cloud infrastructure contracts. Shares of Vail Resorts, however, they're under some pressure. The ski resort operator cutting its full-year profit outlook, citing a drop in visits and a drop in snowfall. Despite that decline, their ancillary businesses, including dining and rentals, are still seeing strong growth. Shares down more than 4%. And Acadia Pharmaceutical sinking this morning. The company says one of its drugs failed to meet the goals of a late-stage trial for schizophrenia treatment. While Acadia plans to continue analyzing data from the study, they do not anticipate conducting more clinical trials with the drug. Those shares down more than 18%. All right, time now for a check on more of this morning's headlines. NBC's Francis Rivera in New York with the very latest. Francis, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Let's start with a race for the White House that could be propelled into a new phase today. President Biden and former President Trump could earn enough delegates to officially win their nominations. Both parties are holding primaries today in Washington State, Alabama, and a critical battleground state of Georgia. Meanwhile, Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry says that he will resign in an acknowledgement of the dire predicament facing his country. A regional forum of Caribbean leaders have reached a deal on a transitional presidential council in hopes to regain some semblance of state control. The future of democracy in Haiti is at its tipping point in the country, now overrun by gang leaders, and it teeters on the edge of political chaos. NASA's SpaceX Crew 7 is on its way home this morning. The astronauts left the International Space Station on Monday and will splash down off the Florida coast any moment now. This group of astronauts has lived on the ISS for the last 6 months. They conducted hundreds of experiments and even made history when crew member was part of the first ever all-female spacewalk last November. Frank, you're up to date now, our Tuesday morning. Send it back to you.
Very cool stuff there. Francis, always great to see you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, Apollo Global Chief Economist Torsten Slot. He lays out the underlying risk that could keep inflation hotter for longer. And as CNBC celebrates Women's Heritage Month, we're sharing the stories of some of our newly named members of CNBC's Changemakers, an annual list of 50 women who are innovating and transforming business. As we had to break, here is Dandelion Energy founder and president, Kathy Hanou.
One of the disadvantages that we might have as women becoming leaders in business is that there are fewer examples in the world of women in leadership positions or in certain industries. If I had dwelled too much on that fact, then I might not have had the courage to start a business in the drilling, HVAC, home construction business. And now my presence as a leader in this industry hopefully provides one more example.
It is just before 5:30 a.m. here in the New York City area, and there's a lot more ahead here on Worldwide Exchange. Here is what's still on deck. Stocks looking to mount a Tuesday turnaround with the S&P and the NASDAQ coming off back-to-back losses. Futures are pointing higher. Key to the market action today, the latest look at inflation, where our next guest says the risks are rising for inflation to move higher and stay well above the Fed's 2% target. And the war words between OpenAI and Elon Musk not showing any signs of letting up as the company takes new shots at Elon Musk's lawsuit. It's Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024. You are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. And welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Collins. Get you ready for the trading day ahead. We pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures. Stocks coming off a bit of a mixed session yesterday, with the S&P and the NASDAQ both posting their second down sessions in a row. Take a look at futures, however. Still kind of mixed, but we're seeing the NASDAQ moving higher right now, hitting its highs of this morning. The Dow looks fractionally lower, basically flat. The S&P firmly in positive territory. We also want to take a look at the NASDAQ 100 pre-market movers. Taking a look, you see right here at the top of the list, PDD Holdings shares up over 3.5%, followed by Sirius XM Radio. And then right here, NVIDIA continue to make a bounce back after a big decline on Friday. Those shares up 1.5% in the pre-market. We're also checking the bond market ahead of that CPI data that's out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, looking at the benchmark at 4.09%, basically holding steady from the same level we've seen over the last few days. And also, we got to pay attention to Bitcoin. It's trying to hold above that 72,000 mark in fresh all-time highs. Right now, it just was at 72,000. We just saw it just right there. Right now, we're seeing it down almost 0.5%. Also watching Ether climbing back above 4,000, but still down just over 0.5% right now. Remember, crypto trades around the clock. Okay, that's your morning money set up. Now back to our top market story and the February CPI report that is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time today. And what will be one of the last major economic reports before next week's Federal Reserve policy meeting. Economists are expecting the headline figure to rise slightly from January, leading the year-over-year rate unchanged at 3.1%. Stripping out food and energy, core figures expected to tick down 0.3% month over month, which could bring the year-over-year rate down to 3.7, its lowest read since all the way back in April of 2021. Joining me now is Apollo Global Chief Economist Torsten Slok. Torsten, good morning. Great to have you here.
Morning, Frank. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Torsten, I know you'd kind of just be a laid-back guy, just trying to keep things calm, but you got the markets excited earlier this month. You put out a note forecasting no Fed rate cuts this year. You said the Fed's going to spend all year trying to fight inflation. How important is today's CPI read to your thesis?
It is very important, Frank, because what's going on is that since the Fed meeting on December the 13th, we have seen a very significant rally in the stock market. We've seen a very significant tightening in IG credit spreads, in high yield credit spreads, in loan credit spreads. And we have seen, generally speaking, financial conditions that have eased with IPO activity coming back, M&A activity coming back. All these things are a significant tailwind to the economic outlook, in particular to consumer spending, but also to markets, I mean, broadly speaking, in terms of what's going on with corporate finance, namely capital markets and for firms. And all that means that we will probably see another lift in the economic data because simply people have more money in their hands as the stock market has gone up. And as you just spoke about, Bitcoin prices going up, the wealth effect is going to be quite meaningful for consumer spending. And that all will spill over to provide a tailwind and a lift to inflation over the coming months.
So, Torsten, you see a lot of tailwinds when it comes to inflation. You mentioned it just now, the strong stock market, Bitcoin, strong cash flow, even from fixed income. But I do want to ask you, you believe the at the center of this inflation story is housing inflation. What turns around the housing story that we have right now? I was just looking at rates. They're just under 7%. They are under 7%, which is a key sentiment level. But still, there's about 60% of Americans with a rate, a mortgage, under 4%. What creates more movement in housing to create that inflation that you're looking for?
Yeah, this is really important because there was a lot of debate in markets when the January CPI data came out that, oh, there was a lift to housing inflation. And people said, oh, this is just a statistical issue. This is not real. But what if it actually is real? Exactly because people have been making more money in the stock market. Everyone still has a job. We got 275,000 jobs created, of course, in the month of February. What if this is not just a statistical issue that's the reason why housing inflation is beginning to reaccelerate? What if this actually is because more people are out there looking for homes and several housing indicators have begun to show signs of life and therefore more signs of a rebound? So the key issue to that discussion, Frank, is that, well, wait, maybe we will get more of a boost to the housing market, despite, as you're saying, that mortgage rates remain at relatively elevated levels. We still have quite a significant support from people simply having more cash. For example, you saw in Manhattan that 2/3 of home sales and housing sales in the last month was driven by cash sales.
Okay.
So people having bigger gains in stocks, Bitcoin, in asset prices is certainly providing a tailwind for housing, at least for the next several months.
But Torsten, in all fairness, New York City is a bit of an outlier. You're talking about cash sales. Those are very wealthy people. In other parts of the country, rents are actually coming down. But I just want to go back to the numbers for a second. You are a numbers person. So right now, the estimate is for that core CPI to come down to 3.7%. If it's at 3.7% or lower, do you change your thesis? Does that change your outlook for those Fed cuts?
No, because what's really important to remember in that discussion is that the Fed has an inflation target that's 2%. And all the numbers that exactly you just said that the consensus expects of 3.1 or 3.7, all those numbers, of course, are still substantially above 2%. And this is the whole reason why FOMC members more recently have come out and said, well, hold on, we still have inflation that's a little bit too high, namely at levels that are quite significantly above the 2% target. So the bottom line in this discussion is, yes, inflation has come down from 6, 7, 8%, depending on how you measure it, in the summer of 2022. But we are just not quite there yet. And by taking the champagne bottle out a little bit too early here from the Fed at the December meeting, we run the risk that we begin to see more tailwinds to the economy and therefore more risk that we'll see tailwinds and a lift in inflation over the coming months. That's the reason why we expect rates to be higher for longer.
All right, Torsten Slok says no champagne and no Fed rate cuts in 2024. Torsten, we'll have to wait and see if you're right. We've got to have you back to talk more about this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, let's get a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau is back with those. Silvana, over to you.
Hey, Frank. Well, the war of words between OpenAI and Elon Musk over Musk's lawsuit against the company showing no signs of letting up. OpenAI challenging Musk's claim of the existence of a founding agreement between him and co-founder Sam Altman and Greg Brockman that it would be a nonprofit and not keep its source code private. OpenAI has called Musk's case frivolous and said Musk himself supported a for-profit structure for the startup. Meanwhile, we're watching shares of Advance Auto Parts getting a boost ahead of the open. And this after revealing that Dan Loeb's Third Point and activist investor Saddle Point have taken a stake in the company and reached a settlement that will give them 3 board seats. The size of the stake was not immediately clear. The auto parts provider has seen its stock slide since 2022 and cut its forecast and dividend after being hit by elevated material, labor, and transport costs. And shares of New York Community Bank also on the rise this morning after announcing it has closed its $1 billion capital infusion with an investor group, including former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. The embattled lender also announcing it plans to submit a 1-for-3 reverse stock split of its common stock to shareholders, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. Yeah. All right, we got a market flash for you right now. We're taking a look at shares of AMD. This after the stock tumbled more than 4% yesterday on the back of some negative headlines hitting the broader AI space. Speaking with our own John Fort yesterday, AMD CEO Lisa Su, striking an optimistic tone about the future of AI and her company.
The truth is, AI is still in its infancy, so we're still at a place where we know that it will get better. Like, we know that you can make these models better. We know that you can make this inference faster. We know that we can make it more accessible. So I do see a place where we're going to see tremendous growth over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Sue added she's excited in trying to get the user experience to a point where everybody has AI somewhere in their lives. Taking a look at shares of AMD, up almost 0.75%. All right, coming up, a big test for ARM shares today, up nearly 150% since going public last fall, where our next guest says investors, they may want to think before diving in when the post-IPO lockup expires. But first, we're going to go to some of your top trending stories. We're going to start off with the Bond King betting on a different kind of asset, stamps. PIMCO co-founder Bill Gross is selling his decades-old stamp collection at auction, a one-cent postage stamp from 1868, expected to fetch up to $5 million, making it the most expensive U.S. stamp ever sold. Hawkins, Indiana could be heading to Broadway. A Stranger Things prequel play reportedly eyeing a move to New York City. After debuting in London, according to multiple reports, the show is beginning to cast actors and stage managers for a 2025 start date. And the Oscars taking home a gold statue all of their own. This weekend's ceremony drawing 19.5 million viewers, the most watched Oscars since 2020. It also marks the third consecutive year of growth since 2021's all-time low. Worldwide Exchange coming up right after this. And welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your morning call sheet. We start with Jefferies upgrading its rating on Carvana to hold. It's also raising the price target to $85. Jefferies saying Carvana's progress towards becoming cash flow positive reduces downside risk and results in a more attractive risk-reward scenario. Another rating upgrade, this time from Raymond James on Coinbase, moving it to a hold. Raymond James saying it underappreciated the impact of Bitcoin ETF inflows and what they would have on Coinbase's performance. And until those flows taper or even reverse the stock's recent momentum, it may persist. And we got a big price target increase on MicroStrategy from Canaccord Genuity, moving it from $975 over to $1,810 per share, almost doubling. It cites the company's continued bets on Bitcoin and what it calls its proven strategy to drive outsized shareholder returns. All right, now we're looking at shares of Arm Holdings, closing down more than 3% yesterday, part of the group of AI-related stocks pulling back in recent days. Arm also faces a very big test today as the chipmaker's post-IPO lockup period expires. It has rallied about 150% since going public in September. You see the big move in the chart. Stocks often fall when that lockup ends, as insiders are now able to sell their shares. But Arm, it's a bit of an unusual situation, as roughly 90% of the company's stock is owned by SoftBank. So today's action could really depend on what SoftBank decides to do. Let's talk more about this now with Ben Harburg, founder and portfolio manager at Core Values Alpha. He's also the managing partner of MSA Capital, a private equity and VC firm that's been an early investor in names like Uber, Airbnb, and Neo. Ben, good morning. Great to have you here.
Good to be with you.
So, Ben, you know, we just talked about it. You have experience in these kind of high-profile IPOs. We just named them, Uber, Neo being just some of them. What are you expecting today, and how does this one being a bit different? As we mentioned, SoftBank owning the overwhelming majority of shares. How's that impact what you're expecting?
Yeah, it's a really unique situation. Not only does SoftBank hold about 90% of the cap table, but there's also a very small float on this stock, less than 1% of its overall market cap, only about $10 million a day. And so that means even a small sale from SoftBank could yield a significant decline in the value around the stock. So typically, we would say stay away from these types of situations and let them try to figure them out and correct along the way as they start dripping out that stock. So there's a lot of risk to getting involved, I would say, today or at the lockup expiry moment.
So you're saying just stay away from buying after the SoftBank, which is today, obviously, after the lockup period expires. You're saying it's just, in your mind, too volatile or just too risky?
I think the issue here is simply that there's a immediate risk at downside if they start to sell, given the small float. The upside here, obviously, is that the company has outperformed analyst expectations over the last two quarters. It has a close affiliation with NVIDIA. They are building those kind of low-power CPU designs that NVIDIA are using for its AI models. They have a very asset-light and kind of sustainable revenue stream, which is very attractive. The likes of NVIDIA are incorporating their chip design into their next-generation super chip.
So you like the company, but you're saying just right now, buyer beware because some of that risk that you just cited. I also want to get your insight.
I think it'll be an interesting opportunity.
Okay. I also want to get your insight on two other companies that they're seeing their lockup expiration expire in the next month. One's Birkenstock, the other's Instacart, two other pretty hot IPOs. What's your view on these two? What are you expecting when it comes to these two? And what we see from them, how does that impact not only the broader market, but the IPO market?
Instacart is a really interesting one. Obviously, come down a lot and been kind of a victim of that post-COVID craze around that space. Our expectation is that one will continue to be challenged as it's kind of in a race to the bottom in terms of its margins and having a lot of other competitors that have entered into the grocery delivery and food delivery spaces. So that's a name that we would be cautious of. Birkenstock seems to have a very loyal following and seems to be a pretty solid business and one that has really strong backers. So it's probably a consistent growth name, not going to massively outperform, but solid.
Okay, so one other company that IPO'd, Kava. So its lockup period ended on December the 12th. Since then, shares are up over 90%, largely because the insiders, they didn't sell. So very simply, if insiders don't sell when it comes to this ARM IPO, does that mean that you expect the stock to go higher if we just don't see any selling?
I think that's right. I mean, again, as long as NVIDIA keeps going up and that kind of bolster support for the AI kind of sector and growth in that space continues and they continue to outperform, it'll keep going up. And so the question really is how much does SoftBank need the liquidity today? And if they don't, it could grow up. But I'd wait to see what they do and then you could buy the dip.
All right. Only on Worldwide Exchange do we draw the connection between quick service restaurants and chips. Ben Harburg, always great to see you. Thank you very much. All right. Coming up, we got the one word that every investor needs to know today, plus the overseas market high on our next guest radar and the key policy decision that could propel it to new heights. Also, if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up after this. Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Today is Equal Pay Day, the date that symbolizes how far into the year women must work to earn what men earned in the previous year. Women here in the U.S., they earned about 20% less than men, 83.6 cents on the dollar on average in 2023. That data, according to the Labor Department, that amounts to a difference of $10,000 a year and about $500,000 throughout the career of a woman. The gaps are even bigger for many women of color. The gender pay gap, it is slowly closing, narrowing from 82.1 cents a decade ago. Continue to follow this story throughout the day here on CNBC. All right, it's now time for your WEX wrap-up. We begin with J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, not taking the prospect of a U.S. recession off the table, at least not just yet, saying he believes the chances of a soft landing are at least half of consensus expectations. A new audit of Boeing's production process reportedly failing 33 of the FAA's 89 tests, including a check on the door plug that blew out during an Alaska Air flight in January. Boeing tells CNBC in part it continues to develop a comprehensive action plan to strengthen safety and quality. Disney responding to activist investor Nelson Peltz's campaign to win two board seats with a directed attack on his motivations and his qualifications.
Nelson Peltz has a long history of attacking companies to the ultimate detriment of shareholder value. His quest also seems more about vanity than a belief in Disney.
And Disney says Peltz is not what Disney needs, at least not right now. Xiaomi are surging after announcing it will launch its first electric vehicle on March the 28th. The phone maker says it's confident about entering the EV market despite the growing competition. And Oracle surging on better than expected results. The company's cloud segment getting a boost thanks to AI and new cloud infrastructure contracts. Shares of Oracle right now up over 13%. All right, turn our attention back to the markets and anticipations of today's highly anticipated CPI report. Double anticipation there. Taking a look at futures, we are seeing the Dow. It looks like it's hitting its actual lows of the morning, looking like it would open about 9-10 points lower. The NASDAQ, really the best performer this morning, up over 0.33%. For much more, let's bring in Jeff Kleintop, Charles Schwab, Chief Global Investment Strategist. Jeff, good morning. It is great to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so we got to talk about it. CPI coming up later today before the opening bell. The expectation is that core CPI declines. How important is a decline in core CPI to the hope and the faith that the market seems to have that we're going to get rate cuts in June?
It's really important. You know, inflation is still well over a percentage point above the Fed's 2% target, and it's just unlikely to provide the reassurance Powell needs. In prior soft landing, central banks, including the Fed, had generally started the rate cut cycle with three consecutive cuts, boom, 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 before slowing that pace. And it's possible that with stubborn inflation, the Fed could still maybe cut for the first time in June, but that the pace of cuts is slower, skipping a meeting or two in between. And that might be disappointing for markets, particularly the financial sector, which has been moving in sync with the outlook for rate cuts. So that sector could be on the move today based on the outcome at 8:30 a.m.
All right. So you're watching the financial sector. I want to get a sense of how else you're looking at today. What is your WEX word of the day?
It's Japan. I'm watching news on Japan's union labor negotiations. Annual talks between Japan's largest industrial union and management wrap up tonight. And it's a key signal to overall union wage talks wrapping up Friday. Signals last week show they may have agreed to the highest pay raise in decades. And that means that while everyone's waiting to see which central bank's going to cut rates first, the Bank of Japan's probably going to hike rates next week for the first time in 17 years. And that hike could attract more money from U.S. investors as they follow the likes of Warren Buffett into Japanese stocks, perhaps pushing the Nikkei 225 index to cross 40,000 for the first time, keeping Japan as the best performing stock market in the world this year.
Yeah, Jeff, we were just showing the audience the chart since Warren Buffett announced he was investing in those Japanese trading houses. The Nikkei actually outperforming the S&P over that period of time. We're also going to show the audience some ETFs. You're not recommending these, but you're saying if you want to invest in Japan, we're going to show the audience a couple ETFs. Overall, as we're looking back here to the United States, what do you make of some of the pullbacks we've seen when it comes to the AI trade, the mega cap tech trade? Do you expect to see that continue today?
We've started to see broader outperformance in the stock market lately with the S&P 500 on an equal weighted basis outperforming the more widely followed and heavily AI-weighted, capitalization-weighted version of the index. So I like the idea that stocks are rising on broader participation outside the Magnificent Seven, those handful of stocks. And that's good news. It may suggest a second wind is coming for the stock market rally this year on that broader participation.
All right, so you say you're seeing a second wind. Is there any one sector that you believe will take some leadership in that second wind over some of the other ones?
I really like industrials, and one of the reasons is we're seeing a manufacturing recovery in the PMI and demand for cardboard boxes, lots of things that show that manufacturing demand is picking back up and leading to higher production, perhaps higher earnings estimates here as we head into the earnings season.
All right, Jeff Kleintop, always great to see you. Your advice today, Thanks, Frank. A hard look at Japan. Big decision coming up this week. Thank you very much. All right, for more on what's driving the markets and the trading day ahead, head over to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. And that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for watching. Squawk Box is coming up next. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.